As we enter a time of prayer, I want to bring your attention to the prayer quilts. We have two of them. So as you leave this room through the double doors, we ask you to sign the card, tie a knot, say a prayer for these women so they know that we are holding them in prayer. Let's pray. As we draw close to you this morning, Lord, open our hearts. Open our hearts to the vulnerability of self-examination. Open our hearts to better understand the hurts of others. Open our hearts that we might offer and accept forgiveness. Open our minds to the wisdom that might be revealed to us as we read and hear your word this morning. Open our minds to help make sense of the complicated world we find ourselves in. Open our minds so that challenges are faced not with stubbornness, but insight and creativity. Dear Lord, open our doors. Help us swing them open wide so that all who are broken, lost, or searching can find hope here. Open our doors that the marginalized and heartbroken find comfort here. Open our doors to reveal to the world that you, God, have the power to make all things new. Renew us this morning, Lord, and bring hope and healing to those in our congregation and our lives who are sick or hurting. Bless our leaders with your wisdom and compassion so their words and deeds bring us closer to peace and reconciliation. Heal our land from destruction and wastefulness. As we seek your face this morning, Lord God, embolden us to be your hands and feet in the world. Help us to recognize the opportunities in front of us to share your love. Now, in the quiet of this moment, we silently share the prayers on our hearts and minds. Now let us lift our voices as one. With the confidence of your children, we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Scripture lesson this morning is taken from Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out our transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. And grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jane. So on the third day we were out with power. We were heading toward Grand Rapids. It was pre-planned, but it was kind of nice to know we were going toward a warm bed. And we were heading west on 96 and coming east on 96 were convoys of trucks. Some of them were utility trucks and others of them were tree trimming companies coming along. And it was kind of interesting to think about how many people it took to take care of the over 2 million people that were without power. We were fortunate here at the church that we didn't lose power, And because this month our church is hosting the Severe Weather Network for our county, we have guests staying at our church who are homeless. They're with us all month. And I know many of you have volunteered to bring food and have been with them. And how fortunate it is that those who are homeless in our county were taken care of and didn't go without heat or a warm shower. That's a real blessing. I started thinking about the mess. How many people had trees and limbs down? Probably, yeah, some of that not even cleaned up yet. I started thinking about just people waiting in the cold for power to be restored. And I started thinking about the struggle it is to get things back the way that they should be. I believe that forgiveness, in a way, is a lot like that. That sometimes we just, the job is just too big, and we cannot do it alone. But by the grace of God and some skills that are deep within our Christian tradition, we can work toward forgiveness. It's a journey, but it's one that can bring restoration. It's one that can clean up the mess. It's one that can make things right again. So through this time of Lent, we are working on forgiveness. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. Let us find in this time an open door for acts of forgiveness. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I know that it's an early hour for you and for all of us, and I wanted to let you know that there is an outline for the sermon. It's prepared every week. Some people pick it up and some people don't. I am going to give you a lot of information kind of quickly today, and I would invite you, if you're interested in self-examination and what we're talking about, to get an outline. The ushers are prepared to bring these to you. So if you raise your hand, wave it, they will come around and they'll bring you on there. So kind of raves them a little higher. The reason I'm offering this is because after the 8 o'clock service, when I saw people just slumped in the pews, I thought, you know, maybe little X's on their eyes, that maybe this would help you a little bit to keep up. So, yeah, so they're coming. They're seeing your hands. They're coming around. So over here, some more. Just help you a little bit with that. All right, so this is sermon series is called Learning Forgiveness. It's based on a study book by Marjorie Thompson. We have a number of groups that are going through this book, but you may just not have a schedule that would allow you to do this. I want to tell you, we have plenty of books. So after the worship service, if you're interested, you can walk through the two sets of double doors. I'll go to the far wall, and you will find stacks of these books, and I encourage you to pick one up. Today, we're going through chapter 2, so just kind of give you some perspective. So I invite you to do that, to take the journey this way. Another way that you can is that I am offering a weekly or a daily devotional by email. We have about 225 people that are getting that devotional now. If you would like to join that, the theme is forgiveness. You can send me an email or call the church or somehow contact us, and we'll make sure that you get on that email list. Just a side note, if you're a Gmail user and you have a promotions category, it is a mass email, so it goes in there. So if you're saying, I signed up for it and I'm not getting it, it's probably in that category that isn't your regular email, so check there. All righty, with all of that taken care of, and also one more thing, and now I'm really going to start to preach. I can't go over everything I said the week before, but this kind of builds, right? So last week we talked about what forgiveness is. And so I love that Missy did a little bit of an introduction of that. Here we talked about how forgiveness is letting go of that hurt. It is given away freely. It is releasing debt. We also were reminded that forgiveness is not excusing or condoning or forgetting. Now, that's just a little bit about what we talked about last week. If you want more, the podcast is available through our Facebook page or our website, so you can get last week's sermon. And as we go through the series, if you're missing Sundays, go ahead and just pick those up by podcast so you can keep up. Now, I'm starting. Okay, so there's this this thing called a prelude. And for those of us in the church circles, we've heard this word before. Prelude's pretty much it just means something small that comes before something significant or larger. And in the sacred tradition of the church, in the Baroque period, the 1600s and early 1700s, musicians started to write preludes, and they were used in the church as a signal that a more significant piece of music was coming. So today we may have a prelude before we worship, and the prelude is the thing that says, get ready. Get ready, get your hearts ready, because worship is coming. And Judy and Arla brought us a lovely prelude today. And sometimes, and you'll hear Arla do this, on the organ or the piano, you'll hear the keyboardist begin the hymn before we actually sing it. Sometimes they'll do a full melody line or they'll do a little introduction. The prelude is to let us know, okay, we're about to sing. But for those of us who do sing, the prelude allows us also to know what key we're going to start singing in. For some of us, it wouldn't matter. But that's the prelude idea. So it's something smaller that signals us that something larger is coming. So what we're talking about today is a prelude to the journey of forgiveness. It's this thing that you do before forgiveness can begin. And overall, we're going to call it self-examination. It is a practice in the church, and Marjorie Thompson, the author of the book Forgiveness, would say it is a chief practice of the church. It is a practice that allows us to become a people who are willing and ready with our hearts to let go. And so this prelude has some critical pieces to it. It is becoming aware of our contributions and who we are in the midst of our conflicts. It is acknowledging to ourselves and to God where we have contributed and where we're struggling in conflict, and it is confessing to God. So these are the components of self-examination. In Matthew 18, there's a part that begins about Matthew 15 where it says, if you have a disagreement with someone else in your faith, what you need to do, so this would be with another Christian brother or sister, you go to them and you talk to them face to face. So that's kind of a start, and it's Jesus giving directions on how we handle conflict. Now, a lot of people want to go right there and say, you bet I just went and told her. I gave her a piece of my mind right face to face. And what people do is they forget that Jesus has a little bit more to say earlier in the chapter. Early in chapter 18 of Matthew, Jesus talks about living the life with the innocence of children. Jesus talks about caring for children. And he also uses this exaggeration or hyperbole. And he says, if your hand offends you, cut it off. If your eye is offending you, pluck it out. What he's saying is that if there is conflict, the first place you start is with yourself. You look inward on the beginning point and connect with God, and then you can go on to maybe confront or to talk with someone else. And so these are the things that we do before we start that journey of forgiveness. Now, Thompson would also say there are two fundamental truths that we need to keep in mind if we're going to be practicing forgiveness and that journey of self-examination. The first is that God loves us without condition. We have been created by God, who looked at humanity and said, "This is good." That's in Genesis 1. We are beloved. We are so loved that God sent his Son to die for us so that we might have salvation. That's how much God loves us. So that's a fundamental truth with which we need to enter self-examination. A second one is that fundamental truth is that we are all broken. Romans 3, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are a broken people. We are sinful. We make mistakes. Now, you may say, these things, why do we need to know them? Well, the first fundamental truth that God loves us without condition gives us the confidence to go to God and the comfort to know that we will find mercy in God's presence, in that deep love. Think about the love of a parent. I always comes to mind for me, my grandmother, the mother of 11 children, the mother of 7 other stepchildren. She had a son who was in prison, and she visited that son faithfully. When other family members gave up on him and walked away, her deep love, the love of a parent, could not let go. That's the love that God brings to us no matter how messy our lives have gotten. And the second truth, that we are all broken, allows us to know that we are in need of forgiveness and the practice of confession. And so we come into that need with the deep love of God. Now, we're going to start by talking about examination of conscience. There's going to be two levels, examination of conscience and examination of consciousness. See, this is why I knew that people were passing out at the 8 o'clock service. But you guys will do okay. You're a little bit more awake. So, okay, examination of conscience, I'll tell you a story. This is not a photograph, I couldn't find one, but this is a painting of King David on the left and on the right, the prophet Nathan. And here's the story. It comes from 2 Samuel 11 and 12, and you might want to read it later because you'll get all the gory details. Here we go. King David had sent people out to battle. He was hanging out in his palace. He looked outside and he looked across, and he saw a woman who was bathing over in another building. It was Bathsheba. He said, oh, yeah, I want her. And so he sent people over to get her. She came back. They had relations. She was married, but her husband was off at battle. And pretty soon, she was pregnant. So David got a brilliant idea. He said, I'm going to get her husband home. I'm going to get him home quick. So he sent for Uriah, her husband, had him come back because this was his plan. All I got to do is have Uriah make a home visit. So Uriah came right to the palace and said, King, what do you want? And I'm loyal. I'm here to help you. And the king said, yeah, I'm so glad you came and you've been working so hard. Why don't you go home, visit your wife? And he said, oh, no, there are people out in the battlefield, and I'm loyal to you. When this battle is over, I'll go home. David had him stay about 3 days, and the guy would not go home. So he sent Uriah back to the battlefield. And there was a commander named Joab, and he sent Joab a note, and he said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to send Uriah up at the head of the thick of the battle. And just as the battle is at its worst, I want you to have all of the other soldiers draw back. Yeah. And Uriah was killed. And so David was able to marry Bathsheba. Now, there's more to the story. And I'm not going to go into all of it, but it's a kind of an amazing story. But what happens eventually is Nathan comes, a prophet. And he tells David this parable about someone who has taken something from someone else. And David just gets furious and he says, tell me who this is because they'll be punished. And Nathan says to him this famous line, you are the man. And David says in 2 Samuel 12, he says, I am a man with sin. And he is convicted of what he has done. Now, Psalm 51 that you heard Jane read earlier is traditionally understood to be the psalm that David wrote after Nathan's accusation. You are the man. Look at how it starts. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions, my sins. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. It is a psalm, a prayer of confession, where David does the self-examination, realizes the terrible places where he has failed, and mind you, he does not escape suffering consequences. I'm going to leave you to read about those. But but he wants forgiveness from God, and he's willing to do the self-examination. And so he admits. I have to tell you that there are stories that I'm going to tell you about my shortcomings and places where I need forgiveness or need to forgive, but I'm not going to tell you all of them. Oh, no. Because some of them are just too embarrassing. And I think all of us have those things where we even hesitate to tell God because they're too embarrassing, or we have such regret that when we start to think about those times where we need forgiveness or we need to give forgiveness, this just these feelings well up inside us, and it is so painful. Whether it's regret or anger, and we just would rather not go there at all. But God says, come. Come. This is what David wrote. Create in me a pure heart, O God. God, give me back the heart that you want me to have. Clean it out, the heart that you created in me. And renew a steadfast spirit within me. Help me to be better than I have been. Strengthen me so that I will be more interested in your way than mine. And I will follow your path. And so this tradition, the examination of conscience, has a bunch of questions that you could ask about it. And I'm going to just give you four ideas on places that you could go in practicing what David did and what has been a church tradition for 2,000 years. One of the first places to start in examination questions is to ask, how am I feeling about this situation? Am I mad? Am I feeling guilty? Am I feeling triumphant and vengeful? You know that feeling where someone just drives by you like they're crazy and they cut in front of you, and if, depending on the weather conditions, you either want to see them in a ditch, like when you come over the next hill, or stop by the police, right? You're just like, yeah, you're going to get yours. You have to, those emotions, to examine those and to think about where that is for you. The next thing to think about, the question to ask is, how do I play a role in this conflict? What is my role? So you ask, what have I done? What have I done to contribute to this brokenness in this relationship? Now, I know in the midst of anger, sometimes it doesn't happen. I was working with these two men who were in conflict in a church, and their personal conflict was breaking that church. So I gave them each a kind of an assignment, and part of the assignment was, give me a list of how you've contributed to this problem. And I called the one guy, and I said, okay, so now we're going to set up a time. You've done this homework. We're set up time. This is what he said to me. He said, I haven't contributed anything to this problem. I said, it's not my problem, it's his problem. This won't work. And I knew it wouldn't work. I mean, you know, it's asking that question real. The other question that often we forget is, what have I left undone that may have caused this problem? Here's a little embarrassing one for me. I've only been married 18 months, like my little fits, I haven't had any really big ones yet, But thank God George has been patient. But George wanted me to make pot pie. Okay, fine. So I said to him, go to the store and get those ready-made pie shells, right? Okay, now, he brought me the pie shells, but they were the wrong ones. They were the wrong ones. And so I look at them, and now it's, you know, it's time to make it. And I say to him, this isn't going to look like it. I mean, look at what I have to do. You know, I bring out my because I wanted the deep dish, and he brought the little ones, and oh. And then I start thinking to myself, okay, first of all, he likes grocery shopping. I never have to step into a grocery store again, okay? So I think about, like, my emotions, you know, in that way. The second thing is, what have I left undone? I didn't tell him what kind to get. Now I'm getting, my face is turning red. Sometimes the things that make us angry, if we step back and say, oh, you know what, I guess I didn't give enough information. And this is what's happened. The last one is negative influences, and I'll tell you basically what this is. Are you getting together with people and stirring it up? Are you listening to gossip? Are you holding on to something that isn't even maybe even connected to the offense that is adding a negative influence to what's there? So these are the four questions or kind of generalizations of these four questions that you could ask that can make a difference in self-examination. The next one, the next step to look at is an examination of consciousness. Now, examination of conscience is good. And if you think about just holding that out separately, you can do that no matter what your faith tradition or if you reject all faith traditions. Because it's kind of a psychological exercise, right? What are my emotions? What did I do? What did I leave undone? And what am I listening to that's negative? How am I being influenced? It's good. Okay, so this brings it in line with Christian practice. The examination of consciousness is the practice of bringing God into it and raising our consciousness of God's presence in it. And so one of the places we can start is by looking at a psalm that celebrates God's presence. This is one of the ultimate psalms, Psalm 139, that points to an awareness of God's presence in our lives. It's a personal psalm. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. It is a psalm that goes on to talk about this closeness that God has to us. And so if you're looking for a scripture that would open you to an examination of consciousness, this is a good place to start. And here are a few steps. Now, I took these simple steps from IgnatianSpirituality.com. St. Ignatius was a theologian and priest that lived in the 1500s, and he developed a daily examine, which is this examination of consciousness. And so here's how it goes. You begin by becoming aware of God. This might be just getting a little silence, a breathing in, a breathing out. It might be reading scripture like 139, but in some way you come to awareness of God in your presence. The second thing you do is you look at your day and you give thanks for stuff in that day. Where was God's abundance? Where were God's gifts? How did God move in that day to bless it? The next thing you do is you review your emotions of the day. How did I do today? Well, when was I content? When was I apathetic? When was I compassionate? When was I angry? And then you take, you review the day and you take an incident from that day. You know, let God lead you, an incident from the day. And you give that to God in prayer. It's a way to bring together self-examination in the way of kind of our working through our mind and then connecting it to God through our hearts. Because sometimes after we review our day, when we pray, it leads us to confession. It leads us to that place where we say, yes, God, in this particular area, I ask for your forgiveness. In this particular area, I need your help in offering forgiveness or offering an apology. That's the daily examine. Now, forgiveness is not easy, and I know that. But I truly believe that one of the reasons that we pray the Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught us in the way that Jesus taught us is to remind us of how we're to do forgiveness. If you remember what it says, we say when we pray, forgive us our trespasses or forgive us our sins as we have trespassed or we have sinned against each other. Check out the order of that. God, forgive us so that we can forgive others. That prayer gives us a model that moves us from examining our own brokenness and asking for forgiveness to moving toward forgiveness with others. Now, I know that this is just part of the journey. Next week, we're going to keep going a little deeper, and next week's pretty tough because we're going to be talking about being honest with ourselves about who our enemies are. Our internal enemies and our external enemies, where we carry our resentments and our grudges and our anger, and what we can do with that. And so I want to invite you back for next week. But for this week, I offer this challenge. You've had the opportunity to think, hopefully, about a story in your life. You might have even, through this message, thought of a couple of things, a place where you need forgiveness, a place where you need to offer forgiveness. I just invite you to grab one of those and to try this examination of conscience with it. That would be sitting down and saying, okay, I got this situation. What are my emotions? What have I done to contribute to the problem? What have I left undone? What negative influences am I listening to? All right, so that'd be it. And if you can get through that, and this is painful work, for anyone who's a 12-stepper in here, the examination of conscience, which is like the full inventory step, it can take a year. So this is hard work. But if you can start that work and you're feeling you can go a little bit further, try praying through Psalm 51. Try praying through Psalm 139 in the celebration of God's presence with us. And so with this, as I said last week, I know that in this worship series of forgiveness, that lives will be changed. And I'm not just talking about ours individually. I'm talking about the communities that we touch, our families, our colleagues, our friends. Now, as we learn forgiveness, we have the amazing power to change the world. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, you know the places where we have chosen not to examine our motives, to examine our actions. You know the places where we have just raised our fists in anger and made our lists of grievances in resentment. And so, Lord, we just give that all to you, all of it. Lord, you also know the places where we are aching because we need forgiveness. And we're not even sure how to get there. And so, Lord, be with us and guide us in that. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.